You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am here with my colleague and friend, Ken Gernick, who covers the Dodgers for MLB.com. Ken, we are on the eve of the winter meetings, right after the Thanksgiving holiday. That's what everyone's focus will turn to. And so it's kind of interesting because as loud as the Dodgers have been in constructing their front office, we don't hear a lot about, you know, we don't hear the name in any kind of rumors with trades and free agents. And, you know, they just haven't been linked to any, big ticket free agents yet. That probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's $187 million already tied up to 15 players for 2015. Just kind of see that is probably going to be a little bit of what we're going to see for the rest of the offseason, is that they might be a little quiet on the free agent front.
Probably because, I think their main goal right now is to move an outfielder because they do have a crowd and they've had it for a while. They wouldn't mind shedding some of that salary in the process. And if they can get a player to fill one of their two or three holes, then that would be a bonus. But, you know, we're talking about a 94-win team, and it doesn't really need to be blown up and rebuilt. So I think, while, as you mentioned, they've rebuilt their front office, they don't really need to rebuild the roster. So there's a couple of holes. There's a late-inning reliever they'd like to get. They've got to resolve shortstop, maybe get another catcher for depth. But this isn't a club that needs to be reworked. And as you mentioned, they've got almost $200 million committed already. So, they're not looking to sign, even a Russell Martin, who I think they took a look at. But they're not in the market for five-year free agents at this point. They don't. They're not going to give that kind of contract.
Was there any talk? I mean, I read as much as I possibly can on every team that I do these podcasts with online, but, I mean, I'm not there, talking to the insiders. But, with Andrew Friedman coming on and then Farhan Zaidi coming on, and he was with the A's and Friedman was with the Rays, and so we're talking about, teams that had to keep payrolls down and had to keep they had to watch every single dollar that they spent. Was there any feeling, among the fan base or just the, scuttlebutt of people talking that, oh my gosh, they brought these guys specifically on because they know how to manage low payrolls and the Dodgers are going to start kind of getting the payroll down and shedding, some of these contracts. Was there any talk like that?
Well, even when the new owners came in with their unlimited budgets, there was a lot of talk about creating a system that will sustain itself and going back to the old ways of the Dodger development system, being able to bring up the Garveys and Says and Russells and Lopes and those players who would then play for 5 or 10 years at a time. And this farm system has fallen on hard times. It hasn't been able to do that in the last 15 or 20 years, really. So I think they really are on two tracks, and that is to try to win every year and not being hesitant to spend money in order to do that, but also to be able to replenish these players as they get older with your own players. And as a result, a byproduct of that is they'll be young and cheap. And there's nothing wrong with being young and cheap as long as you win. And so they're going to have to keep winning. And if they can't win with their own players, then they will then have to go out and sign more expensive free agents. But do they want to bring the payroll down? Absolutely. Who wouldn't? They want to make money. They want to run it as a business. But they also understand being in L.A., you have to win. And in order for them to do a quick fix and a quick turnaround, they have to spend money to win. And they haven't gotten to the World Series, which is the ultimate goal, but they are putting up 94-win seasons, so it hasn't been a disaster.
No, certainly not. It's so hard to have consistency in the postseason to be able to get there year after year after year. It's not so easy. But, I mean, it just is a big contrast for when the new ownership team took over and they did, spend all that money. And, I don't think that – I think the fan base out there is smart enough to realize that it's not so much a mixed signal thing. It's just they wanted to make a splash and now they want to kind of, be a little bit more reasonable. But that brings us – the Gabe Kapler announcement that he's going to be the new farm director, I found that very interesting. Somebody who had, you know, really no experience working in a front office, and now they're putting him in that situation. But you hear such great things about him. And do you know? Have you spent any time talking to him? I mean, what do you know about him? And where, how does he fit into a front office that there are not any major league players, former players in there, and he seems to be like the lone guy?
Well, the short answer is Andrew Friedman loves him from their time together in Tampa Bay. So when Gabe was a player there, Andrew spent time talking to him and realized this wasn't your typical ball player. He's very thoughtful, smart. He's organized. He's creative. And those are all the things that Andrew has talked about when we've asked him that same question. You know, how is this a fit? Also, Gabe's got a little managing experience in the minor leagues. And, you know, he is the only he's the only former player that's been brought into this front office, former major league player anyway. So it makes you wonder if, if he isn't perhaps a manager in waiting, if the Dodgers feel that they need to make a change at some point. At least, you could speculate that. So he brings a dimension that the other front office hires don't bring. While he might not fit in one hole, he might fit very well in another. So I think he gives them some flexibility and something to fall back on if they want to make a change on the field. And in the meantime, Andrew has somebody who's from the field, has a way to relate to the players, and hopefully will know what it takes to develop a major league player as an official, as a minor league executive.
And just getting back, one final thing, just on the outfield logjam, and I think everybody in the baseball industry and the baseball world knows that the Dodgers are willing and probably need to trade somebody. I'm looking at the dollar figures these guys have left on their contracts. It's pretty staggering. Trade Carl Crawford with the $62 million they have left on his contract, or Andre Ethier with the $56 million. How hard is that for a team that, they don't really have the upper hand, and that everybody knows they want to get rid of one of these guys, and then they have all this money to absorb or to figure out, who's going to pay what? I mean, how hard is that for the Dodgers to kind of navigate through that and actually end up trading one of these guys?
Well, you have to find a match, and you have to find, a value. So maybe you get back somebody else's bad contract. That would be one possibility. Maybe there's a reliever with a bad contract. The team wants to get rid of him. He hasn't been a very good closer, but the Dodgers could see where he might be a good seventh or eighth inning pitcher, and so you make a deal that way. I mean, I could see where that would work out for both teams. Is it going to be hard? I mean, every trade has its complications and its obstacles, and clearly with these players, salary is part of it, but that doesn't mean that that an Andre Ethier or a Carl Crawford wouldn't be an upgrade for some team that doesn't have the luxury of having $300 million outfielders. So they've been talking to a lot of teams. They seem, and I'm talking about they being Dodger front office, seem very confident that they will be able to make a deal. It's just a question of which one it'll be and what they'll get in return and what they'll have to give up and whether they'll have to eat some of the salary, which is a possibility too. But I think the bottom line for the Dodgers is they just don't think it's sustainable to keep five or six outfielders, especially when you have four of them that expect to play every day.
Exactly. Well, I sense that when we reconvene at the winter meetings, that most of the things that we'll be hearing from the Dodgers and will be on that front, just on the trade front. So, Ken, thanks so much, and we'll be talking to you in San Diego.
Okay, Allison, thank you.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.